Hallelujah. Well, let's give the Lord thanks together. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you tonight, Lord. We thank you for your love and your goodness. We thank you, oh Lord. We thank you. Hallelujah. And we really are thankful for the love of the Lord, which gave us the blood of the Lord, which gave us remission and forgiveness, and our sins were washed away, covered and washed away. Whatever could have been held against any of us under the blood tonight. That's a powerful blood. That's a powerful love. And because you're really thankful, would you join me in standing? And I want us to let out our voices, but mainly let out your praise for the goodness of the Lord and for His love. And I thank you, Lord, for your miraculous deliverance. Thank you, O Lord, for that love that does reach to us in every situation and to every person. And I'm glad that I have been included in that place of love, your love. Thank you, Jesus. 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 I believe you would agree with me. We must never forget about what the Lord has done for us when it comes to salvation. And I know for many people here tonight that it has been a number of years since you first felt His love or went down in the waters of baptism for the remission of sins. And I'm glad that's still happening. But for some of us, it's been a long time ago. But we don't ever want to grow stale or ever want to forget to give thanks to the Lord. Hallelujah. I wish we could do it as though it were the first time. I wish it could be as fresh and as new to us, where we have just been delivered or just been blessed or favored, and the Lord has shown. Now, I feel that kind of a love of God in here tonight. And I also feel that kind of response in the people. I believe there is a want to in the people of God to say, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us in salvation. Praise God. I want God to do miracles for me and for us. But neither do I want it to take a miracle, some healing or some deliverance, which we will shout about. But don't want it to have to take that to get me to praise God. Calvary's enough. Freedom's enough. Hallelujah. The love of God when we don't deserve it, that's enough to do what we are doing right now. Hallelujah. From the book of Exodus chapter 6, and then we will also read from the book of Matthew chapter 26. They're two seemingly unrelated portions of Scripture, but they are very, very much related when it comes to the story of redemption, and especially how the Jewish people worshiped and praised God for their deliverance and their redemption. And what He did for them was symbolic of what He was going to do for us. They had Egypt land, we had sin to come out of. They had Pharaoh, we have Satan, the one who tries to bind and tries to hold. But He has done great things. He did it for Israel in Egypt, and He's still doing it for people who will look unto Him for their salvation. And we're some of those people that have looked unto Him. From Exodus chapter 6 and verse 6. Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. There weren't any maybes about this. And I will deliver you from slavery to them. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God. You shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out from under the bondage, the burdens, the slavery of the Egyptians. And then Matthew chapter 26, as Jesus gets ready to do what we often call the Last Supper, but you could also call it the First Communion. And we're going to partake in that kind of a service here in just a little bit. And he took the cup. Everybody say the cup. He took the cup and gave thanks. It was a cup of thanksgiving. And he gave it to them saying, drink all of it, because this is my blood of the New Testament. There's power in that blood. That blood is going to be shed for many for the remission of sins. And tonight I want to preach about the cup of thanksgiving. The cup of thanksgiving. Are you thankful unto the Lord for all of his benefits? Praise God. Well, the scripture says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Oh, give thanks. Let's do it. Let's obey it. Lord, we do give you thanks another time. We really could not do this enough. It couldn't be on our service schedule and agenda enough. Couldn't be on our lips and in our hearts enough. But we do truly say to you, God, thank you tonight. And you'll record it and you'll accept it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, and you may be seated. One of the figurative images that God used in Scripture is a cup, or the cup. There are many references to a cup, the cup of sorrow, wrath, judgment, joy. In the Jewish culture, one of the reasons that Jesus used it coming out of that culture is the cup denotes plenty or abundance, or it denotes the blessings and the favor of God. And you and I have been drinking from that cup of the Lord. It was customary in various festivals that the participants would drink a cup or various cups of the fruit of the vine during that festival and during that celebration. The reason was, and every time they did it, it was more than just taking in juice, which would nourish their body, but there was a purpose behind what they did, just the same way there's a purpose behind what we do when we sing to the Lord, when we lift up holy hands to the Lord, when we give God our voice of praise. There was a purpose behind it, and in the case of taking up a cup, the purpose was to express a thanksgiving unto the Lord. So the cup really represented praise and thanksgiving. It literally became a cup of thanks or thanksgiving. That symbolic cup tradition, the drinking of the juices from the fruit of the vine, was one of the Jewish cultural practices that took place during the Passover, during the Seder celebration, which we're going to celebrate here tonight. In fact, during that feast of the Passover celebration, there were four different instances. And if you know anything about Jewish history, you know that they were very particular about details. And when they would celebrate in a certain way, there was great symbolism, and they really meant what they were saying and doing. And so in this Passover meal, there were four different instances during the meal when the celebrants would take the customary symbolic drinks from those cups. It was a four-cup celebration. And as they celebrated the Seder meal, the practice was that each Jewish member of the family were to drink at different intervals four cups of wine at four different times during the meal. Now, those four cups in their history and in their culture, and by the direction of the Lord, represented those four I wills that we just read about from the book of Exodus chapter 6. In verse 6, he said, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will deliver you from slavery. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. And then two I wills were combined for the fourth cup, where he said, I'm going to make you my people and I'm going to become your God. Aren't you glad he is your God tonight? And we are his people. That first cup, as they started the meal, they would drink it right at the very beginning of the meal. It was called the cup of separation or sanctification, because that I will said, I'm going to bring you out, or I'm going to set you apart from Egypt. A little bit later on, also after they had recited their history and the deliverance story, they would drink the second time, the second cup. That was known as the cup of deliverance. Every participant that was participating knew what that second cup represented. It was a cup of deliverance based on that statement, I'm going to deliver you from slavery. I'm going to deliver you from a bondage you could not come out of yourself. And then following the prayer after they had eaten, there was the cup of redemption. And it was based on that statement, I'm going to redeem you with an outstretched arm with and by my power. And then the fourth cup, the last cup of the celebration. It was after the meal and after the previous drinkings. They would do something very particular with some of the writings that they had from Scripture. They would read from Psalm 136 as a celebration. And this psalm somewhat celebrates coming out of bondage and being delivered. This fourth cup, as they would drink it, represented that blessing that he said and stated upon them. I'm going to take you as my people. You know, we are blessed to be his people tonight. We once were not a people, but now we are the people of God. He made us his own by his Spirit and by his forgiveness and by his grace. And they would sincerely celebrate the fact that they were of the Jewish nation and culture, and that they belonged to God and that he belonged to them. And they would celebrate because God had said, I'm going to make you my people. And then the second part of that celebration is, and you're going to be able to call me your God. You're my people and I am your God. We have the same reasons to celebrate. So as they were drinking that fourth cup, they were thinking about, it's a blessing to be called a child of God. And they were also thinking about, I'm so thankful for this blessing. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, the old songwriter said, I celebrate about that. My soul, but I've been brought up in this all my life. I am so thankful for that, but I never want it to get old. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out. I just had a mental picture right now. I don't know how excited those Jews got right at that particular time, but I know they could get excited. They moved with their worship. Somebody might have had a little wine spilled on them every meal or two. Something might have got on the tablecloth as they were drinking that grape juice and taking in the blessings of God. And they begin to celebrate because they were now the people of God, and nothing was going to change that. You're a child of God. Nothing can change that. His power, his love, his redemption. And so they would drink that cup there at the very last part of the meal. And as they did, they would praise God as they read through Psalm 136. It preaches about and teaches about and celebrates what and who he is. It talks about what God is able to do. It tells about what he did in creation. And it tells about what he does for us in salvation. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Psalm 136. Because we're going to drink the cup of thanksgiving tonight. Along with the psalmist writer and along with those in the Passover. Because we have a real reason to be thankful. We have, a greater reason than those Jews who were celebrating that Passover and that Seder feast. We have a wonderful, wonderful blessing of thanksgiving. I want you to hear how they started Psalm 136 and they would praise the Lord for it.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever.
Give thanks unto the Lord. What for? For he is good. Woo. Well, that's enough to praise God for. That's enough to thank him for. And you start putting underneath that category good all of the ways that he has been good to us. I'm going to tell you, there is a full glass. There is a full cup of thanksgiving of all that the Lord has done for us. You know what? All goodness has its source in God. I know people are good, but you know the reason people are good? Because of God's goodness. I'm going to tell you, food's good. Ooh. You know why food's good? Yeah, because they're good cooks. But it all starts with a provider that miraculously could take a seed and let it go to the ground, and out of that seed would grow fruit or vegetables, and whatever your favorite vegetable or fruit is, it came out of that because there's a creator and there's a God who is good. James said, every good gift. How many gifts? Every good gift. Every perfect gift is from above. That's enough to stop and just think about for a long time. Not some of the gifts, not most of the gifts. Every gift that is good and every gift that is complete or perfect is from above. Woo! If somebody talks about goodness in their life, remind them where that came from. That breath that we breathe, just the very fact we're alive. I felt this earlier today or earlier in the week. Thought, you know what? There's a whole lot of us that probably wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for the goodness of God. And by being here, I mean, yes, in the church, but I mean more than that. I mean being here and being alive. There's some of us that don't even know how close we came. We don't know. And there's other of us that know, yeah, I was just about gone. But God is good. And every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And it comes down from the Father of lights. Hallelujah. And you know what? He's not just good. Exodus 34 said, he's abundant in goodness. He's multiplied in goodness. His goodness is many-fold. You can't count it, and we can't keep track of it. And I'm thankful. We try to sometimes, and it's good to record, it's good to journal, it's good to pass it along in a note or an email, but really, I'm just going to preach tonight, we can't keep track of how good God is. That doesn't mean we shouldn't try. I think we ought to try our best. But the best that we try, God's still going to outrun us. God's still going to outdo us. He is abundantly good. Woo. Well, that was a good half-hearted response. Folks, don't make me work tonight. Woo. You know, you shouldn't have to work too hard about the goodness of God. Woo. You don't have to prime that pump. You just get the out. You get the good. God's been good. You just start talking about his goodness. And somebody's going to rise up in their spirit. Somebody's going to rise up in their thanksgiving. Somebody's going to lift that cup of thanksgiving and say, hey, God has been very good to me. He is good. Woo. And after they were done eating and drinking that cup, they would start praising God for his goodness. Oh, he is so good. Then they'd go and move down to the next couple of verses. And here's what they would say about the identity of God in verse 2 and verse 3.
Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods.
Unto who?
The God of gods.
The God, capital G, of all the other gods, little g.
Right.
G, that's neat. God of gods. Why? For his mercy endureth forever. Verse 3, brother.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever.
He's not just a Lord. He is the Lord. A Lord had authority. A Lord had rulership. So this Lord that has rulership then and has it today, there are other lords, but there's no Lord that is greater than this one whose name is Jesus. And he has all authority. And I conquer and I vanquish by preaching Jesus Christ every other lord that is trying to rule your life. Woo! In the name of Jesus, who is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. He is not in control. He is not intended to be in control of your life. Absolute sovereign God. He's in charge. He is still in control. And the more we go into our future, and the more we see going on around us, and we hear about things, and we wonder how much worse will it get, and we see the evil, and we see murders, and we see other things that are happening, and we wonder, where is it going to end up? Here's what we know. There is still a God of gods and a Lord of lords. And he is the absolute sovereign. He still sits on the circle of the earth. And no matter how much pandemonium, and no matter how much in your life you feel like things are out of control, when you're serving the Lord of lords, he's got it. Woo! He's got your situation. He's got our mess. He's got our dilemma. He's got our answers. He's got our counsel. He's got our wisdom. He is absolutely sovereign. Woo! And his will. We don't have to worry about our future. His plan is going to be carried out without a glitch. We've all had plans go awry. God's plan never goes wrong. Never goes off in the ditch. There is no delay. We think there's the delay, but it's all God's timing as he works his mighty power and his grace. And you will notice something as you move through Psalm 136, and we're not going to touch every verse tonight, but he uses this phrase in there several times. In fact, it's 8 times he uses it. In a segment of 14 verses, it just keeps saying, to him, to him, to him, to him. He's the one that deserves our thanks tonight.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah. If you could just focus in right now, if all of us could just focus in, and anything you say, make it to him. Any praise you give, make it to him. Any thanks that you have, make it about him. He keeps saying in this 136th psalm, and as they would celebrate and as they were drinking this fourth cup, they would be reminded it's all because of him. And all of us can say, it's because of Jesus Christ. I know I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve to be saved. I don't deserve to have the calling that I have in my life. I don't deserve, we don't deserve the anointing that God has put in us. But because of Him, to Him, to Him, to Him, it's all about Him. They would celebrate God's power. And we can join them tonight. I want us to join them in faith. You may be looking for a miracle, but you've come to the right place and you're in the presence of the right God because He is still a miracle worker. Here's what they read in verse 4.
To Him who alone doeth great wonders.
What kind of wonders, Brother Brad?
Great wonders.
Great wonders. Now the Holy Ghost could have just said, write down wonders. But the Holy Ghost said, write down great wonders. Great, awesome power. He alone. Everybody, nobody can perform the wonder or do the miracles that God can do.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you, men and women have become so brilliant. It is amazing. I mean, we're coming to the day of driverless cars. By faith. Before and for sure when you're in. I mean, there is, it's tremendous. And you know, you've read about the stories about how computers that would, you almost need the size of this sanctuary. And now, you've probably got all of that on this or on your phone. The same amount. I mean, it's the brilliance of man. Nobody can deny that man has become wonderful and is able to perform or build the wonders of this world. But we're emphasizing tonight, and what those old Jews were thanking God for, here's what they remembered. Who alone. Woo. Hallelujah. He's the one that created us. Nobody else created us. No Big Bang created us. A creator. By Him, Jesus, the writer said, Paul said this, by Him were all things created. He alone does great wonders. They were and we are in this fourth cup of thanksgiving, thanking Him for His power, and not only for His power, I want us to take time to thank Him for His willingness. You know, God could be just strutting His stuff up there, saying, I ain't sharing this with nobody. I'm not sharing this wisdom. I'm not sharing this power. I'm not sharing this glory with anybody. But He loves us enough. He said, here, I'll put that power in your heart. I'll put that power in your hands. That when you lay hands on the sick, by the way, this still happens. When you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover.
Yes.
Cancers will shrivel and die.
Yes. Right.
New cells are formed.
Yes. Woo.
What wasn't there or what was degenerating is changed by the power of God. And I want to preach, I don't care what caused that. Common disease, a habit, or whatever it was, He's a healer of all of our afflictions. He alone does marvelous things. Things that make people wonder and marvel. Things that come from His absolute power. And those Jewish families would begin to praise God when they got to the fourth segment, to Him alone who does great wonders. And later, years later, Paul would come along, and many of these were of the Jewish tradition, and they would kind of pour into that cup of thanksgiving words like, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly. Woo. Hallelujah. Exceedingly, no wonder our thanksgiving is overflowing. Because His power is overflowing. He said he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Brother Reaver was walking the will of God a while ago when he asked us about, did we need any victory? And he had us respond with our request by just lifting a hand. And then God responded by touching people, and is going to continue to touch them. But I will just say to you, whatever you ask for, whatever victory you ask for in that request, he is able to do above that. Now, there's a whole lot of us, probably most of us, that would just take a victory answer and go shouting for that, and we should. But what we're going to remember is God could have even done more than that. God can do greater than what we could ask or think. With men, Jesus said, it's impossible. Whatever situation you have, and you're trying to serve God like those Old Testament Jews serve God. You're trying to be true to Jehovah God, not any other but him. That's what they were doing as they went through that psalm and talked about the wonderful power of God. And you're saying, with men, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. He does great things that are unsearchable and that are marvelous, past our finding out. He is a great God. I want to tell you, here's going to be our testimony. Psalm 126, verses 2 and 3. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. Some Holy Ghost joy. Holy Ghost laugh. I'm seeing a lot of good smiles out there tonight. That helps a preacher preach, by the way. Sure is better than the other, you know. But you know, a good old Holy Ghost laugh, and I know that people get caught away in the Spirit. I'm not necessarily talking about that one. But just a good laugh that is based on clear, clean, wholesome, good things about life. A good dose of that would help a whole lot of us. Their mouth was filled with laughter. Have you ever been around somebody that... Somebody told me about this kind of person just this morning. Not one thing was said good, but how it could have been better, and how this didn't happen, and that didn't happen. I'm glad that person they were talking about wasn't there. I felt the Holy Ghost kick in the backside. Come on. Right? Come on. Come on. Whew. Their mouth was filled with laughter. They wouldn't talk about how bad it was. You know, you can still have a joy, and Brother Reaver preached it this morning, in the midst when the blossoms aren't blossoming and the field is not yielding and the good things of this life are not happening. But in the midst of that, our mouth was filled with laughter. Our tongue is going to be filled with singing. Then said they among the heathen, it got sinners talking about it. Here's what they said. This wasn't the people of God. This was the heathen. The Lord has done great things for them. That's the reason they're drinking that cup of thanksgiving. That's the reason they're praising God. You don't have to worry and don't hide your praise or your thanksgiving or your joy. If you've got a true, genuine joy that came from the Lord, the world is going to know about it. Woo! Hallelujah. Filled with laughter. Filled with singing. And the Lord's done great things, the heathen say. And then the Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. He is a great wonder-working God. And they got to reading on down a little bit further. And they got to reading about his creative power. In verse 5, read for me.
To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever.
Okay, go on.
To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever.
You know, it sounds like somebody just got some Play-Doh and some Legos and just gets going to work. I'm not trying to trivialize what God done, but I'm going to tell you, to God, creating the earth is just like, I started to say you and me, but some of us can't do it. Those little kids putting those Legos together. Man, they don't know how to do that stuff. Those pieces are so small, I can't even see some of them. Let alone pick them up and put them together. But those kids, they got a down pat. They know how to do it. To God, stretching out the earth above the waters, making the heavens. You know, when we go out tonight, we ought to just look up and say, thank you, Jesus. Woo. The moon may be there, the stars may be there, but if they're covered up by the clouds, he made those too. Woo. There's always a reason to praise God. When the stars are shining, when the sun's shining, when the moon is bright and full, or if the clouds are covered at all, he made it all. And he's in charge of our lives. Whew. Go ahead, read on, reader.
To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever.
He made great lights. He didn't just make lights, he made great lights. Talking about the sun and the moon. Ain't nobody done that. I mean, we can't hardly stand to look at it, the sun, let alone make it. Didn't even burn his fingers. Who can handle the sun? I'm going to tell you, God can handle things that are too hot for you and I to handle. Woo! Too hot for us to handle. He can handle it. He made those great lights. I'm going to tell you, he's a great God. You get to thinking about light, and a lot of us like light. Some of us are scared when it's not there. A lot of fear can come in darkness. A lot of fear comes because of darkness. But he made those great lights. And he made the sun to rule. I'm jumping ahead. Somebody read that for me.
The sun to rule by day.
Yeah, the sun to rule by day. He said, you're in charge, son. You're in charge. You rule that day. You control it. You determine how long it is. You determine its beginning and its ending. You do that, son. Okay, go ahead.
For his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night.
You know, I did what Peter just did. Preparing these notes. In fact, I'm going to confess, to make room on the page, I kind of blanked out those last six words on several of the verses. Because I wanted to make room for all the stuff he did. But don't leave out, for his mercy endureth forever. All of this stuff I'm preaching about, he didn't just do it once and that's it. He did it once and it's forever. That power is forever. That dominance, that authority, that sovereignty is forever. Woo! And God will guide your life. He's the one that made that North Star that they use for guidance. And especially in the olden days, it was used to help them to be guided on the land and on the sea. He is our North Star. There is guidance. There is control. There is direction in him. He is the creator, and he's in charge, and we've got something to be thankful about when our God is that kind of a God. Verse 10, read for me.
To him that smote Egypt and their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever.
Now they got to thanking God for that deliverance. Whew, they got to thanking God for bringing them out of bondage. He smote Egypt in the firstborn. Go ahead, Brother Spall.
And he brought out Israel from among them.
All right, he just reaches right in. God just reaches right in to where his people are and just brings them out. He brought Israel out from among them. We don't have to wait to get separated from our situation. God can reach into our situation. Hallelujah. God can reach into those bad associations. God can reach into our dilemma and our storm. God does not have to wait for the storm to calm. God can reach right into the storm. Read on, Brother Spall.
For his mercy endureth forever, with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm. For his mercy endureth forever.
Ooh, a powerful hand. A hand that could grab and grasp. a hand, a stretched out arm. I read one author that mentioned something I had never, I just thought of it was the far reach of God. But he said that stretched out arm is God drawing his arm back like we would with a fist. And with his arm outstretched, dealing a blow, that outstretched arm deals a blow to the situation. In fact, God can deal a knockout punch. Anybody ever have God knock something out for you? Give you the victory? Maybe it was a habit. Maybe it was a circumstance or a situation. It could even be a difficult person. Don't you try to knock them out. You let God knock them out. And when he needs to, he can do that. He smote that firstborn. He drew back that arm, and he hit Egypt where it hurt. He's a powerful, powerful God. And there is no enemy. That was God's outstretched arm. When David put that rock in that sling and whirled it around, and that stone hit that giant, and that giant went down because he's the God of victory, and with a stretched out arm and a stretched out hand, he can do it. He divided the Red Sea into parts. He made Israel pass through the midst. He overthrew Pharaoh and his host. He is a great God, and they're celebrating what God had done for them. The same way tonight, God wants us to celebrate what he has done for us. He's your creator. He's your savior. He's your deliverer. Stand with me if you would, please. What a great God. Now hear me, everybody. Every one of us have something to thank and praise the Lord about and for. And it may have even fallen into some other category that I didn't get a chance to preach about tonight. But whatever it is that God has done, you've got a cup of thanksgiving. Hallelujah. And it's up to us to fill that cup with thanksgiving and praise, and then just drink in the goodness of God and drink in the thanksgiving and let this world know our God is a great God. He has delivered us. You know, so many of us, if it would be nothing else, no recent miracle, just the fact of the forgiveness of God and where he brought us from. He separated us out. He brought us out. They would think back and say, oh, thank you, God. And they got to where they were generations removed. Generations from their ancestors who had literally been the slaves in the nation of Egypt. But every Passover, they would take that fourth cup and they would say, I don't ever want to forget about what the Lord has done for me. We're going to take a cup of communion and a cup of thanksgiving here in just a few moments. But before we do, and I started to call you forward, but I just want us to use right where we are, because right where we are in life is where we need to praise God and thank him. There are days we can't get to the church, but we don't have to be in a certain type of service. We don't have to be in a certain location. We can give thanks and we can drink that cup of thanksgiving anywhere and anytime. So I want you right from where you are with the sincerest heart. I want you to begin to think of the goodness of Jesus in your life. And whatever comes to your heart and your mind, I want to encourage you to begin to thank him for that. They will not be accidental thoughts. They will not be incidental thoughts. The Holy Ghost is here right now. And he's going to rehearse and he's going to remind us. And we're going to remember off of those reminders about your goodness. Oh, Lord, you are abundant in your goodness. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, God. Hallelujah. That's it. That's it. Make your own place of praise right now. That's right. Take your own cup of thanksgiving right now. Oh, yes, for your salvation, for your great sovereignty, Lord. The fact that you are in control when it feels like and it looks like in our world that there is not sovereignty and there is not authority. Yet there still is. Oh God, we thank you for it. We thank you. We feel the peace and the confidence of your security, oh Lord. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You just close your eyes with bowed heads. I'm not even going to look around, and I'm going to ask others, nobody, to look around, please. I'm just going to name some thankfulness categories. And just as unto the Lord, to him, like the writer said, would you just acknowledge there was a day that was very dark, and the shining north star, the Sun of Righteousness, shone in your life for you in that dark hour. Would you just lift a hand of praise to the Lord right now? Oh, oh, oh. Remember how dark that was? It was so dark you didn't have an answer. Oh, God. Oh, God. I'm going to tell you, God's recording your thanksgiving right now. That praise, those words, that lifted hand. Hallelujah. He took note of every Seder feast they did. He took note of every remembrance they gave. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Try to think back now. For some, it may be a while. Others, not so long. But you remember the day or the night that you repented, or that you were baptized and the sins were washed away and that you were filled with the Holy Ghost. Would you just lift a hand up to God? That's right. Just lift a hand. I remember, God. I remember, God. I remember. I remember. Hallelujah. I remember, oh Lord. I remember, oh Lord. I remember. I remember. I remember. I remember. I remember. I remember. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. I remember. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, if you've had a provision by that great absolute sovereign God, it could be anything from job and finance to counsel or wisdom or answer, any kind of a provision from the Lord. Still asking that nobody look around. This is in the privacy of our thanksgiving to God. Would you just lift up a hand to the Lord as a sign unto you, Lord? This is to him. This is to you, Lord. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for working that job matter out. Thank you for giving us that job. Thank you, oh Lord. Oh Lord, for the provision. For the provision. It may have been a house. It may have been a raise. It may have been help, oh Lord, that we didn't have an answer for and didn't expect it to come. We thank you now, Lord. We thank you now, Lord. We thank you now, Lord. One historian said that when they got through praising the Lord through those first 16 verses of Psalm 136, when they got through praising God, it would have appeared that the meal was over and the celebration was over. But he noted on most occasions that family couldn't stop praising the Lord. And they would just keep on giving thanks to the Lord. They would just keep on lifting their hands or whatever way they were expressing to the Lord. That cup just began to overflow, the cup of their heart, the container of their mind that contained their thoughts just started overflowing for the goodness of the Lord. I just feel to say to somebody, don't put a lid on the cup of thanksgiving in your life. Let it be poured out, because in pouring it out, there's a thirsty soul that is going to be able to drink of the goodness and the grace and the mercy of the Lord. And now together, Would you just lift up hands to the Lord and lift up a voice, and I want us to give a mighty chorus of thanksgiving to the Lord. Yes, Lord, we are thankful. Yes, Lord, you are good. Supper or that first communion, they were celebrating with these cups of the Seder feast. It wasn't the fourth cup that Jesus was referring to, but it was the third cup of redemption. He had this celebration in his mind when he said, "Take this cup, drink all of it." They were looking back to redemption from Egypt. But he said, "This is my blood. And there's going to be redemption not just for the Jewish nation, but it's going to be for whosoever will." You've got a message to give somebody tonight or tomorrow, throughout this week. This blood is for whosoever will. This redemption is for whosoever will. And Paul rehearsed it to the Corinthian church. And I want Brother Jason to come and read what Paul wrote about giving thanks to the Lord.
First Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 26. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'"
Now, Lord, we're very thankful for that broken body that is but symbolized in this bread tonight.
but we do thank you for giving your body and your life. We thank you for that, Lord. And we're going to thank you for your brokenness, which meant our wholeness, as we celebrate this communion bread. And then, Lord, thank you for willingly giving your blood. Thank you, Jesus. It was not spilled. You purposefully gave it for us so that our sins could be put underneath that blood, so that our afflictions could be healed through your name by that blood. And tonight we remember and we rehearse that, and we step back humbly to say thank you once again for Calvary and everything that it means. And now we receive this and take this, remembering you and being reminded of what you have done for us. God bless you as you receive this tonight. Gentlemen, you can serve.
So I'll cherish the old brand new cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will
right. Give him thanks. Give him thanks. Hallelujah. Got a reason to celebrate. Oh, so I'll cherish the old
cross till my trophies at last I lay down.
I will cling
to the old rugged
cross. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus.
And exchange is a way for a crown. So I'll cherish the old.
You're good, Lord. Oh, I'll change.
thank God for every great new miracle that he has done and he's going to do for us. And we can have faith for those things. But over and above all of that, there still is that old truth, that old rugged cross, that old foundation stone of our lives, and that is the cross and the blood and the love of Jesus Christ. And without it, we could not be here today. Would you give him another great thanksgiving unto him for your love, God? For your death, but not only your death, it didn't end on the cross. It didn't end in that tomb. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for resurrecting. Thank you for resurrection. Thank you for new life. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
So just keep drinking and let the Lord keep filling that cup of thankfulness and let it overflow this week. Remember, we're coming back Tuesday night. There are some invite cards out in the lobbies. Take some of those, invite some folks, and if you don't have one of those, just call or email and invite some folks to come, because we're going to celebrate our thankfulness to the Lord again this Tuesday night at 7:30, and then a time of fellowship in the back. Greet one another in Jesus' name. There is no prayer meeting on Tuesday morning because of service that night. No Tuesday morning prayer meeting. We're coming back at 7:30 on Tuesday night. Bless you.